Hi, I'm Elena, and I work with Jeanette, as she said, and I'm going to go over a little bit more meat of what our project is trying to accomplish. I don't have any personal financial relationships, so we're going to skip past these. The lovely ladies to my left are my co-authors. This is our acknowledgement of our funding, which Jeanette went over. And so, as most of you know, meaningful use is out there. Everyone's talking about meaningful use. We, as the cancer reporting agency that receives cancer reports, we were not included in stage one of meaningful use. We were very hopeful that we would be included in stage two, and now we have been. But the physicians that we're wanting to get EHR information from have options. They can choose cancer reporting as one of three out of six. So they have six options they get to choose three of. And we're trying to get them to choose cancer reporting, especially our oncologists, but more so the general practitioners that may see a melanoma case here and there that we aren't capturing. But all of the states all of the United States has laws that require cancer reporting to the central registries. And as Jeanette said, we are one of two states that is trying this project to get the electronic health records in from the physician offices. During the presentation, I'm going to describe our steps that we took to obtain data from a physician office, EHR. We'll discuss why the use of the EHRs can improve our cancer cases, and discuss some of the challenges we faced during the beginnings of our project and ones that we hope we're going to overcome at the end of it. So, as Jeanette said, we partnered with our Missouri HIT Assistance Center, and we identified which vendors were implemented, where they were implemented. We looked at regions of Missouri to make sure that we have a very diverse collection of participants in our project. So the MOHIT Assistance Center was very helpful in that. And when we began, our original focus was on just the non-reporting oncology practices. But as we went along, we included other non-reporting practices, as well as the critical access hospitals that we're submitting on paper to help them reduce cost of copying, mailing, security of the information they mailed, all of that. During the project, we've been working with other state and national organizations. We're identifying and assessing options for the secure software transfer or secure transfer of encrypted data and how the softwares go to do that. We had several options that we're still, working through. We also we're helping to develop and standardize processes of the data elements in the reports, the formats, which is more of the technical formatting of the message coming in, not the actual formatting of the report. It's kind of the behind the scenes of how the message is created, and then the triggers. During this, we collaborated with, or we are collaborating with, the facilities EHR vendors. We feel that unless we also talk to the vendors, there could be some communication differences. The facilities may not know what we want, what we need to ask, and so we want to make it all a team effort between the central registry, the facility, and the EHR vendor to develop these softwares so that we can get exported files, develop the interfaces, and import, store, and process data. And this also goes to the CDC software that we use to process it internally in the CCR. We want to make sure everything is interoperable, and that's what we're working with on to get that to the point where other states can adopt this when they're ready and we're past our demonstration project. So as far as we are right now, we have six CPOs that are currently participating in our project. Three of them have completed their EHR implementation. One we have received test data from, and that one has been completely electronic since 2004, I believe. They were awarded the most wired award for a hospital, so they are way ahead of time on the electronic age. We were even looking at it in 2004. Two of the EHRs have selected their been selected, but they haven't implemented them yet. Some of that is due to funding in the facility. Some of it's due to just timing and how they want to, you know, make sure that their staff is ready for the EHR implementation. And then we have one that has, we have one that implemented, they have implemented it, but we don't know what degree they're at. We don't know if they have fully implemented and they're done and they're using it for their everyday record keeping, or if they're just training still and they haven't completely gone live with it. Out of the three critical access hospitals that are participating, we have they have all selected them, but they don't. They have selected their EHRs, but they have not implemented. And then our urologist that Jeanette was speaking of has completed his EHR implementation, and we've received test data from him. So as far as kind of the status of where we're at, this gives a little bit more in depth on two of the of a CPO and a critical or clinic that is also with a included with a hospital. We've received test data and we have also gotten live data, and we are working with that vendor directly, because when we received the data at the beginning, it was in a CCD format, which is a more condensed version of a CDA. The CDA format that the CDC is wanting to do with this project has more of the cancer data in it. It has the histology. What we were receiving in the CCD was just a primary site. We didn't get histology, laterality, any kind of treatment. So we're looking more for the fuller report that will give us more of a cancer data capture. And then our urologist, which he's a go-getter, so we're going along with him. He created his own certified EHR. He said, I'm going to do what's good for me. So we have received data from him. We finalized the data elements that we'd like for him to capture, or actually more accurately, the ones he wants to send us. And we agreed with that. So we had a little bit of negotiation going on there. And his vendor is actually a graduate of the HMI Master's in Informatics program that Iris also holds, and he's working with us. He said, I want stage two now. What can I do to help you out? So it's what we were talking about, trying to get them before that January 1st, 2014 date. We're finding this vendor is very willing to work with us on getting that and is going forward with us. Our next round of testing should start in a couple days, November. The challenges that we receive, or you know, that we're facing, are interoperability between the softwares. That can go from the EHR software to the central registry software. In the central registry software, processing the data, we're looking at all of that, and we have to make sure that it is all interoperable. We're also challenged with convincing the EHR vendors. We've been very lucky, and we're very grateful to the vendors that are working with us to change. But we do have other vendors that we're going to be working with, and they're not so much ready for it. And there, the feedback we get is, well, we'll wait till stage two is supposed to be there. So they like those deadlines that the government gives. We're also working on funding cuts resulting in our staff deficits and limited resources due to those cuts. More challenges are, how do we process the data, and how will it go through our internal workflow? We, you know, look at storage, consolidation of reports. As Jeanette said, you know, we may get 30 reports on one patient on the same tumor with little bitty pieces of different information on each one of them. We need to make sure that that's a concise record. And then we're looking at sustainability. We want to convince the CPOs to choose cancer reporting as one of the three, so we can continue with this and not just with the project participants right now. Some of the challenges for the CPOs, they may Bach, like our urologist, at the amount of data elements that we want on the EHR report. And how, you know, how do we get them to get those required data elements in, and how do they capture those data elements? Because, you know, right now the physician can dictate one sentence, and it could be something like, you know, 59-year-old white male diagnosed with stage 3, you know, and we would have all, you know, adenocarcinoma. We would have all of those data elements that we'd have to break down into discrete data fields. So there could be 6 elements in one sentence of dictation. How do you get a physician to say, okay, don't dictate one sentence, I need you to pick these 6 fields? So that's one of the challenges that we're going to get from the CPOs as well. Vendor cooperation. Some of the participants are having a hard time to go to their vendor and say, you know, I'm wanting to do this, but where is it going to be? What's it going to cost us? And that's a lot. The cost of the EHR changes are can be, depending on the vendor, can be quite substantial. As far as the vendors goes, we're looking at, you know, them wanting to format the way we want them formatted, the messages, before stage 2 is implemented. You know, and that is a cost to them with their time, their programming resources, everything like that. Plus, once an EHR vendor is certified, if they make changes before another major change in meaningful use, they have to be recertified. So there could be costs with a certifying agency or anything like that. There's lots of things that we want to make sure that we're taking into account what they're having to go through so we can make it an easier transition. Another one is, how do they get the information to us securely and make sure that we're getting the triggers if we decide to go with the trigger event? You know, we want to make sure it's automated for them, but we want to make sure it's accurate. Similar challenges as us convincing the CPOs to choose cancer. If they make these changes, they want their CPOs to, you know, their physicians to choose cancer as well. Otherwise, they did all this time and effort on a product that their you know, clients aren't going to use. So our overall conclusion, we're trying to get these EHR transmissions. We want to reduce the potential bias that Jeanette spoke about, that bring, you know, from the missed cases, melanoma, prostates, et cetera. We're offering feasible but yet challenging means of obtaining these cases, so you guys can see where our challenges lie. We're trying 2 different options, and with each option, there's pros and cons. With our trigger event option, it's more automated. We're going to get more data, which means there's more discrete fields for the physicians. With physician-driven, they decide when they're going to get it to us or when they're going to send it to us. We can get critical data, but it's that's all we're getting. We're not getting the lots of detailed data. And it is easier to process in the central registry, but if we had more data, I think we'd be okay if we had to make it a little bit harder. One of the cons is that, you know, a trigger event may overwhelm. This goes back to maybe 30 reports coming in for one patient, one tumor. The physician-driven, some of the details are going to be missed. So this is my contact information. If you have any more or you have some questions for me, or if there are any questions, yeah.